Welcome to the Aspire Community Church podcast. Join us today as we explore biblical insights for demonstrating the love of God. We pray this message brings you encouragement. You can visit us online at aspirecc.com or follow us on social media at aspireccva. Now on to today's message.
2 Chronicles 15 and 1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin." And so if you can see this, I got this in blue because this is very important. If anything, you want to underline. It says, "The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." Let me read that portion again, just so that we can get it. The Lord. I want you to underline this part right here. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now, I know the next part says, while you are with him. But the reason why I'm highlighting that is because as you continue to read through the scripture, you will find that he says this a lot. The Lord is with you. He said he will be with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. Who did it? God. What? You mean to tell me that God troubled them? That's what it says here. God troubled them. A lot of times we put stuff on the devil. We blame the devil. And you know what? The devil didn't do it. Sometimes we did it. But did you know that there are times that God would allow things to happen such as this? Nation will destroy a nation, and a city will destroy a city. But the seventh verse, "But you," he says, "be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, and for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. Interesting. When they saw that God was with him, they followed him. That's very interesting. That spoke a lot to me. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and triumphs and rams and horns. And all of Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with their heart and sought him with their soul. And he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest all around. The Lord gave them rest all around. Also, he removed Micaiah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron in the Kidron Valley. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until 35th year of Asa's reign. The point that I want is something I want to point out is that one verse. He says, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. But he said it with a caveat. He said, if you be with him. The Lord is with you if you be with him. And if you seek him, you will find him. You know, I liken this. When I was reading this, it made me think about a relationship. Relationship between a man and a woman. And so kind of go with me on this. You see a guy, I got some women here. Think about this. A guy, you meet a guy and sparks begin to fly. And then there's no question that, you know, he's feeling me and I'm feeling him and everything is good. You can really sense that everything is pointing in the right direction. In fact, you really feel that four-letter word. You feel like, you know, can I say it? Love is in the air. L-O-V-E. Love. So then you have, you know, but then all of a sudden, without warning, the guy, he begins to back up, begins to pull away. You can sense that he's pulling away emotionally. You can sense that he's pulling away physically. And you're kind of saying to yourself, what gives? What happened? Because there was nothing there to kind of, you know, gave you a clue that things were not going well. You really sensed that love was there. I want to kind of tell you why the guy backed up. Anybody can guess? Why do you think the guy backed up?
Commitment.
That's the word right there. Commitment is the word. The one thing, this one word has crippled all of us at some point in our life, and that is commitment. I applaud you. Thank you. Thank you for making it easy. Commitment. Scared. That means he would have to, I even have it up here. Let me put it there. Commitment. Commitment. Commitment is something, so when you read this, like God is saying, okay, we're entering into a commitment. He says, I will be with you. And he's giving you the guidelines. He says, and you will be with me. And he's saying, as long as you're with me, I'm going to be with you. Don't you get that in relationships right now? People kind of get married when they're in a relationship and they'll tell you, hey, you know, I'm in this relationship, but here's the problem with it though. I'm in this relationship as long as you are doing those things that I need you to do. As long as you're doing those things that I need you to do, I'm in this relationship. But as soon as you're no longer doing that thing, then I'm out. Now, that's what pretty much God was saying, but we don't have the option to say that back to God because God was the one that made us. Even though we do that, we say, Lord, I'm in a relationship with you as long as this, and this happens. We oftentimes do that. God, I need you to work this out and I need you to work that out. I need all of these things to kind of work out. As long as we're in this relationship, Lord, I need you to do the things that I'm asking you to do. But I want to just let you know, God is the one that made you. You didn't make him. Last week I was at the job and I heard these questions. I want to show you what some of the questions are that I heard. Let's look at these. It says, you will be happy when ... happens. You will be happy when ... happens. What I'm asking you, what needs to happen before you are happy? What needs to happen? This is just a question. These are some of the questions that I heard. And I think people are struggling with it. What do you need God to do? What do you need him to do? What is that thing that you really need God to do? You're in a commitment, right? You're in a relationship. Here's one more. Do you really need God? I mean, really, do you really need him? Because, or are you one of those persons that says, I could do this myself? Are you one of those types of people that you say, I can handle this. I can get all of this done by myself. I really don't need in the world that we live in, they say it. Can I say it? I really don't need a man. I don't need a woman. Culture have dictated that we say this all the time. I don't need nobody. I can manage this all by myself. I can do it. Commitment. Commitment. You know what commitment is? This is where we are right now. Sometimes, did you know that the thrill of living for God can wear off because of the everyday life that we have? The thrill of living for God. I mean, let's be realistic. Sometimes we get tired of praying every day. You mean I gotta pray every day? And it's kind of sad because it seems like my prayers are not always heard. Get tired, right? I was just talking about going to church 7 days a week. I'm going to be honest. I got tired every day going to church, reading the Bible. I mean, I get it. We're in a relationship. I'm in a relationship with my lovely bride. We'll be celebrating 37 this year, you know. And again, every day I got to come down and speak to her, say hi. That's a long time. You were married, what, 40-some years? Every day. Loving up on that person. What about this? Every day, don't we get tired of fasting, turning our plates down, removing ourselves from those things that keep us separated from God? Every day. Sometimes, listen to this, sometimes life can cause you to forget all of the things that God has done on your behalf. Has that ever happened? You forgot that the Lord has really just worked things out. The 15th verse, if we go back to the 15th verse, it says, and Judah, all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and had sought him with all their desires. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Think about that. The Lord gave them something. What did he do? He gave them rest. That means they didn't have no war. They was in a state of peace. They didn't have to worry about somebody creeping up on them in the background. And we don't even realize that there are times that the Lord, he's working things behind the scene because we don't see God up front doing these things. It's kind of hard to see God working behind the scene. It was God that have caused his enemies not to turn on him and try to overthrow his castle. It was the Lord that kept everything fresh, and he was able to build and to have, you know, just a wonderful kingdom for 35 years. Everything was great. But sometimes we forget what God has done. And you know what it does? It causes us to slip back into some of the old habits and old patterns. And when we slip back into those old habits and patterns, what we do is we leave God out. I was reminded of something. It's real easy. You know, we're just one decision, as my friend Usman used to say, we're one decision away from disaster. And I remember a moment, my son was very young. He was playing football. And They were in the playoffs, and I didn't make the game. I wasn't there for the game to start. And as I was coming into the game, this little kid said, "Where have you been? Get in there. They're fussing at your son." So I was already moved by, you know, this little boy saying, you know, something happened to my son. And when I looked across the field, the one coach had our son off to the side, and he was fussing at him. And I said, all right, I don't know what it is, but I'll find out, you know. So I waited till the end of the, and I went up to the coach. And I said, "Hey, coach, can I have a conversation with you about my son?" And he came in my face so quick. "Miss Lisa," he said, "get the bleeping bleep out of my face." I'm telling you, my glasses came off so quick. I could just remember my old way coming back to me. I felt my fist going. You know, I felt like my wife and I, you know, she would always say, why do you always want to punch somebody? Because that's how I was brought up. I'm brought up in an environment where I was punching people. And so I was so quick to go back to those moments. Bam, my eyeglasses came off and I was ready to go fist to cuff. But thank the Lord, there was a gentleman there that was from the church. He was able to pick me up and take me off the field and mm-hmm. kept me from going. I'm just saying, look, it's real easy to slip back into some of the old patterns of life. What are some of the old patterns that you might slip back to? When you forget God, remember that? Forget God. We forget God.
Well, old self, remember, it ain't gone. It's still there. All that you did in the past,
it's still there.
It is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's just that you have began to accept God and all that He does, that you be like, okay, you know what? That's the old me. But don't forget that old me is still there.
The old me is still there. It's very much there. And sometimes, depending on how life is going, we can, like I said, forget God. We forgot that we were in, where's that mm-hmm. word? Commitment. And so in the commitment with God, he's saying, think about the commitment that you made with God. What is it? That I'm going to live holy, right? I'm going to live upright. We had a discussion online, me and a couple of other brothers, we was having a discussion online. He says, when is it right to be angry but sin not? Right? Because every now and then you want to own the right to be angry. If somebody did something wrong to you, don't you want to be angry? But how do you manage being angry without sinning? That's interesting. It was an interesting conversation. So, but we're saying, but yet you have a responsibility to live holy. You gotta let your light so shine before men that others will see the work of the Father and glorify Him. Glorify Him. Glorify Him. Commitment. This is what this reminds me of. He says, "I'll be with you as long as you are with me." We're in 2 Chronicles 15. I'll give you one more sometime. Sometimes, you know what? Success can cause us to get the big head, forget how we got to where we are. Did you know that? When you live in comfortable, success can give us the big head. Oh, you got the comfort of life. You know what I think? This is what probably happened to Asa. Because he had peace all around him. Maybe he forgot God. And what he forgot was that God is a fully committed God. He's a God that is fully committed. The blessings, the title, the blessings of a fully committed God. So what does that mean? God is, He never leave you. He's working for you, no matter what your circumstances. He's working on your behalf. I know that you're at times that we have to go through things. But God is working for you. Amen. He's working on your behalf.
Amen.
I really need you to get that. He's working. Everybody say this with me. God is with me. Can you say that?
God is with me.
Amen.
Yes, He is.
Like I said a moment ago, because we don't always see Him working on the surface, the devil wants you to think that He's not moving in your life.
Because we don't see him physically moving things around, and you see things going in a direction that you desire it to be, we feel like he's not moving. No, you can't go by that. He's moving. For the 35 years that Asa lived in peace, God was moving. He kept the enemy at bay. He built him up. As long as he did right, as long as he, here it is, didn't get tired of praying. As long as he didn't get tired of reading the word of God. Paul says, study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show thyself approved. You know, you get tired of studying. You got to read you got to read again today? Well, I really don't want to read. I'm tired of reading. I'm tired of reading the Bible. You know what? Have you ever got tired of reading the Bible? You say, I know that story already. Do you really know the story? I'm praying the same prayers. Then switch your prayer up. Instead of saying them, write them down. Do something different. I'm singing the same songs. Then do something different. Remember, look, this is what I recognize about being in a relationship with my wife. Yeah, did you know you can take each other for granted in a marriage? You know that? You could just assume, I just assume, Lori will take care of it without me even saying it, right? It's not like I had a conversation with her. And what makes it even worse, because when you get into those moments that there's a clash in the relationship, it's because the one thing that was missing, let me tell you what it is, communication.
Yep.
And so we think that, like my coworker, she does this to me all the time. She said, God knows what I'm thinking. I said, yeah, but you didn't tell him what you were thinking. Because he might know what you're thinking, what he wants to know. Are you in this relationship with him? Uh-huh. Because if you are, then you would need to communicate. You would need to say, hey, Father,
yes,
I do love you. Hey, you know what? Every day, and I can't say if I remember to do it or not, every day is good for me to say I love you. Mm-hmm. Every day. It's not enough just because I said it yesterday. I got to remind Lori every day, baby, I love you. I love you.
I love you.
See there? Yay, glowing. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 16. I want to show you something. There's something else. And then we're going to wrap it up. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah, that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasury of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. He was building this against Judah, but he stopped. Then the king took, King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones and timber of Ramah, which Baasha had used for building, and with them built Geba and Mizpah. It's the last up in there, right? And at that time, Hanani, the seer or the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord your God, therefore, the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hands. It's almost as if God was trying to let him know, the king of Syria was in your hand at the time. Well, you could have destroyed him, but you let him go. Why? Because you relied on your own knowledge. You used to trust me. Let me kind of go back. Because you have stopped being committed to me and started relying on another king. Your commitment with me has been broken, right? Before, we used to have a commitment. You used to trust me. You used to depend upon me. You used to believe in the things that I share with you. But because you did that and now you have a commitment with somebody else, you have lost an opportunity. Where the Ethiopians and the Lubans, not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. Let me kind of give you some background on there. See, so there was a time when he was king that he went up against Ethiopia, and they had 300 chariots. They had a huge million-man army, 300 chariots that invaded the land, and Asa, with the help of the Lord, was able to overcome them. He says, you forgot about that, huh? You forgot that, remember that army, the Ethiopians? The million man army that they had, and all of those chariots and all of those soldiers that they had, yet you were able to overcome them. But because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. Now the ninth verse is where I was trying to go. It's amazing because the seer, he stops in the middle of what he was telling him. And he said something very general about God. He gives us an insight about God. And he says this, he says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Can I put another word in there? He said, don't add words, don't take it away. You see what it says there. But whose heart is committed to him. I know there's some other versions on that verse right there. What do you have?
I know the other version too.
Yes. Go ahead there. You don't have it. Miss Lisa, which one do you have? You have the same one?
I have NLT.
What does yours say?
It says the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed.
Ah, that's the one we're talking about. The hearts who are fully committed. Fully. And so this is an insight. This is an insight on how God thinks. This is what the seer is offering us. He says, look, the eyes of the Lord, he's always looking. He may not show up at your doorstep, but he's always watching his children. And he wants to know, are you faithful? Are you going to remain committed to me? But there is a word. Well, let me finish this out, this little reading right here. For the eyes of the Lord runs to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is, another version, the NLT says, fully committed to him, right? In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have war. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. And he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. There's a word that came to me that God always did is. I'm going to tell you what he always is. Consistent. He's a consistent. Now he knows this about his people though. We're not always consistent. He knows this about his people though. We're not always loyal. He knows this about his people. We're not always committed. As long, God, as you are with me, I'm going to be with you. That means, Lord, you know, you need to give me the job that you said, you know, I want this job. Even though you're not qualified for it, you need to give me that job. Or, Lord, better yet, you need to give me this man. Right? I know he's not good for me, but I need this man. You need to give me this woman. I know she ain't good for me, but you need to give me her. Isn't that what Samson? Yeah, I know she's part of that other group, but I want her. You know how he was out. He was like, I get to see him doing a tantrum. Now, I want her, mom and dad. Would you make it happen? You know how we do, right? The eyes of the Lord. One of the things God is, he was saying this. This is, you know where a key to marriage is? This is what I'm discovering. You know what a key to marriage is? We already talked about the first one, commitment, right? But here's the other one, consistency. In a marriage that falls apart, a lot of times they're not consistent. They don't consistently say, I love you. They don't, we have mother boys, she said, look, if that couple keeps holding hands, they're gonna be married a long time. You know, couples, they stop holding hands. David, I hope you take notes. I know you're gonna get married, right? They hold hands. Look, we saw a couple, we were out yesterday. They were holding hands all over the place. They were walking through the park. Old ones, young ones, you know, middle-aged one. You gotta hold hands. You gotta be consistent with it. You can't get tired of it. And the reason why I say you that, I'm talking about from a male perspective. I keep it in my mind be saying, why she wanna hold my hand again, right? But I know I better hold on to this hand, right? Got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to the hand. Ain't that a song, mother? I know I called you mother. That's the song, right? Hold to his hand. All right, so we're going to move on. So, consistent. God has always demonstrated that he is consistent. We got that part? So what did we learn so far? What this message is just a reminder, really. Is a reminder to you that God is with you. Now, I know I'm not really yelling a whole lot today, but I'm trying to get it in you, this one thought. God is with you. I don't care what circumstance you're in. I don't care what problem you might face. I don't care how your body feels. Can I say it like this? What your mental state of thinking might be. When it's all said and done, God is with you. It may seem like he's not with you, but he's with you in the tough times. Hallelujah. He's with you in the easy times as well. He's with you when you don't have strength to get up. He's with you when you're weak and you're laying there and you're saying, Lord, are you with me? I'm here to tell you that God is with you. Why do I know that? Because first of all, he values commitment. And the reason why he values commitment, because he is a covenant keeper. And the reason why he knows he's a covenant keeper, because one of the things that I definitely realized throughout life, God is consistent. Amen. He's never leave me. He's never forsaken me. Amen. All right. So from here, I want to shift gears. This is what I said. The blessings, I want to give you what the blessings of a fully committed God is. I want you, and the way that we could do this, you got to get it out of the Word of God. So we got to go to Psalms 91. I don't have that up there. So get your Bible, get your phone. Let's go there together. Psalms 91, right? One of my favorite passages, particularly the first couple of verses, he always says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. I love praying that. Why? Because it makes me think of me lying in his bosom. Mm-hmm. Nobody, my wife don't even know that I'm laying there because it's a secret place, mm-hmm. You know, and it's a good thing. It's not like I'm laying in the bosom of some female, right? I'm laying in the bosom of my Lord. And that's a good, quiet, easy place to hide. But yet we find in this reading as well, that down, we're going to start at the 14th verse. There are some things that he says in the 14th verse, 14, 15, and 16 that I want to highlight. Here are some of the blessings of a fully committed God. If you are consistent with him, like he is with you, one of the things that he would do, well, let's read it first. He says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. Now you got to understand this reading. When you first start off, it sounds like that there is the person who wrote it is speaking in his voice. But by the time you get to this 14th verse, you can tell that there's a shift in the voice. Mm-hmm.
And it's almost as if God took over the writing and started writing instead. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord is saying here, because he has set his love upon me. This is what he's saying. Look, those who are consistent, those who are fully committed to me, I can see that they have set their love upon me. And as a result of that, one of the things that I'm going to do, I will deliver him. Yeah, it don't look like you're stuck in the mud right now. You don't look like that you're going to be able to get out of it. You don't look like you're going to be able to pass that test. You don't look like you're going to be able to do whatever it is that you want to do. How is it going to make it out? I want you to know something. God says, look, he will deliver you. Not only that, he says, I will set him on high because he has known my way. I'm going to set him on high. Another version says this, I will protect him. That's what the other version said. I'm going to set him on high. Why? Because he knows my name. He knows. Remember what the what he said in the 15th chapter? He said, the Lord is with you if you be with him. And he said this, if you seek him, he will be found of you. So that means if you're seeking God, you know his name. 15th verse, he says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. When you call in prayer. Some people say, but I've been praying. It just seems like my prayers are not answered. Yeah, it may not be answered in your time. He's going to answer you, but it may not always answer just because you have an immediate need right now. Like I told you when we first got started, God has already seen the ending from the beginning. He already knows the outcome before you even start. And he may know that you might have to go around the corner a couple of times just to get to the end part. But you got to be faithful and consistent in the fact that of knowing that God is with you. God is with you. Thank you. You can't give up. You can't give in. You can't stop because the enemy wants you to. He wants you to give up. He wants you to stop. He wants you to say, this is not working out. You know, this isn't how it's supposed to be. So we got an idea. The culture that we live in has shaped and painted an idea of what we think a relationship with God should look like. I'm here to tell you it's not like that. It's not the lights and the glitter. It's not the songs that make you feel good. It's in the commitment. It's in the consistency. It's in the love of the Lord. Can we go a little bit further? He says here in the 15, he said, he shall call upon me and I will deliver him. And then here's another one. He says, I will be with him in trouble. What trouble are you in today? What trouble are you struggling with today? It could be physical health. Lord, am I ever going to feel better? Lord, am I ever going to regain my strength? You know, my wife and I, we were talking this morning. And I've been reading the Bible a lot. You know, I try to. And one of the things that I've discovered is this. A lot of times, well, let me put it this way. I don't know if you ever read, because Job is one of my favorite books to read too. Job, anybody ever read the book of Job? So in the beginning, it says this. Let me kind of like just give you that. In the beginning, it says God was there and the angels came to God in the morning, and Satan came. And I don't know if y'all heard or if y'all remember reading, but God, he speaks and he says, hey, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? I get stuck right there. You mean to tell me Job, you know, I'm thinking about the totality of Job. Somebody, the brother said this morning that Job was rich. Job was a rich man. He had cattle, he had land, he had a bunch of children. He was rich, he was living large, right? And so he must have had such a beautiful routine until God said, hey, Satan, come here, Satan, come here. Hey, have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. He's upright before the Lord. Yeah. And so in the response, Job says, but you got too many hedges of protection around you. So if you need to pull some of those, and then he'll curse you to your face. You don't understand. How do you know that some of the trouble that you're going through is because God was sitting back watching you? Come on. And he said, hey, have you considered my servant, Lisa? She's righteous. She loves me with a pure heart. I know her commitment will never fail. So what I'm going to do, Satan, is I'm going to give you opportunity to test her. How do you know you're not going through a test? So how do you know? So it makes me think about it, right? So that was in the Old Testament. We go to the New Testament. My wife was telling me, she was reading this morning, that Paul, he sought God three times. He had a thorn in his flesh. Are you going to ever take this away? God said, my grace will be sufficient for you. Think about it. You mean to tell me I can't even get this thorn out of my flesh? I can't get it or take it away from me? I've been serving you. I've been praying and delivering folk. I've been setting them free. And I keep asking you, God, will you just eliminate this burden from me? He says, my grace. How do you know that what you're going through isn't something that God has you in? Number four, we got a couple more. He says, 15th, in the middle, he says, I will be with you in trouble. This is another one he says. I will be with, I would deliver him and honor him. In the sixth verse, he says, I will satisfy him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So let's 15 and 16 together. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Right? That's what the rescue is. He says, with long life, I will satisfy him. We used to sing that song, with long life, right? He will satisfy me. Fred Hammond. And I will show him my salvation. But here's the word. He's consistent. So I'm going to stop right here. We're going to come back next week. I'm gonna put a plug in for next week. We're gonna continue this. We're gonna make, I don't know what the title is gonna be, but it's gonna be something around this just thought right here. I want you to understand this. If you don't get it, I want you to really clearly understand this. God is with you. Don't be like Asa, the king who forgot. Don't be like him. Don't be like Asa who got comfortable. Or maybe took God for granted. But as long as he sought the Lord was with him, gave him peace. As long as he sought God, he opened doors for him and made ways. And we can bring it to the day. Look, for many people, they don't understand. Well, how is it that you got that job? Because I sought the Lord. Why is it that worked out? It's because I sought the Lord. I got up early in the morning. I sung songs of Zion, even though I can't sing. I worshiped him as I was sitting on the bus. I worshiped him while I was riding in the taxi. I was talking to my kids. That's why I'm laughing. Because I don't think sometimes we realize how blessed we really are. Amen. Don't stop in the middle of relying on God because you got hurt. Don't stop in the middle of trusting God because you got a wound or a bruise, or you became disappointed. Your expectations weren't met. Don't stop in the middle because God didn't give you what you wanted, when you wanted it, and how you wanted it. You got to trust the Lord. Stay committed. Ask yourself, Lord, have I forgotten you at times? Have I forgotten you? Forgot that you were with me. And if you did, maybe you just need to recommit yourself. We were talking to a young man at the table.